Blog Talk Radio.
Sucker Punch and her walking over the whatever the thing she killed head to the beat.
Right?
Hotness. Good morning, lovely people. Happy Friday.
Good morning.
You are listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay! And I think I'm Ginger, maybe. Possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe. It is Friday. Never know.
Have y'all been seeing my little crazy tweets? Today it was planning secret schemes with the Illuminati since, well, today. Better be today. Funcom, we're looking at you. We are.
I know, right?
With the little eye. The little eye shows we're Illuminati.
Yeah. So, you know, where are our invites?
I was looking through the mail. I better see it and see it soon. That's what I know. Look, how are we threatening people? You better give me my pay.
Do you know who we be?
Apparently, they don't know who is we be.
Do not make us get all our girls together. It'll not be good.
Apparently, we did get an email saying that we need to impress our woman tonight. We don't need to go outdoor. Just other filulus. You know what? People that send spam, if you don't speak English, don't try to send it to English people. I mean, really. People that speak English, not just English people, per se. But if you don't speak good English, are you in passable English? Don't try to send spam to me in an attempt to get me to click on something.
Yeah.
I'm just going to laugh at you and point. So anyway, this song I got playing in the background. Hopefully that's getting some of you amped up to finish your work after lunch.
I would hope so. I've been over playing on Twitter. Some of you people are nuts this morning. Y'all are all over the place with Twitter. I'm like, wow, I'm being hit left and right.
I was not watching Twitter this morning because I was looking at lovely actor Michael Ealy, who is my newest obsession. Rare. I'll be watching his new show tonight and drooling.
I'm going to tell Link on you.
You can tell Link. He understands. Sometimes a girl needs a tall guy. Just saying.
Oh, Link. She called you short.
Oh, he's not short everywhere. He's not short everywhere.
Daytime radio, Corey. Daytime. Y'all see today? It's not me.
Hey, I was just saying we're all the same height lying down. Just want to point that out. Okay. So we got into some news because this is getting off the rails like our show last night.
Our show last night was awesome, though. It was so much fun.
It is. Our show is really, 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 really nice. Oh, remind me to tell you about this we just got in the mail. I can't share this with you all yet because I have to first, yeah. Okay, wait a minute. No, I was about
can
to
you share. Can you share?
I can't share, but I was about to rip into the wrong person. Okay, because I was like, I don't believe you. Like, I'll tell Ginger later. Yo, like, I want to know. You can't know.
Yeah, see, y'all don't get to hear all the really good, juicy stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, we try to keep y'all informed with what's going on, but there's so much y'all just don't get to hear.
I'm very sorry. We would love to share it with you. We simply cannot. All right, I know I got some of you all interested. Ginger, may I?
Yeah, you may. 1 second.
Okay, so if you all were watching our tweet, you saw where I made the whole 50 Shades of Grey reference with The Sims, of course, 50 Shades of Sims. Should have been 50 Shades of Woohoo, actually, now that I think about it. The Sims is doing something rather different. I've never seen them do anything like this over at EA. They are announcing The Sims are kinky. They are going to be counting down the top places to Woohoo. If you don't know what Woohoo is and you haven't played The Sims, it's where The Sims have relations, sex. Okay, so they're saying whether in a mystery box, treehouse, or even in a time machine, Sims sure know how to have a good time in a variety of locations. I didn't know about the mystery box and the treehouse. I'm going to have to try those. This is we count down to the best places to Woohoo in The Sims games to see where the horny little simulated beings are getting crazy and kinky lately. You can check out hot tubs, haystacks, your Sim baby-making locations have only gotten more exciting. They want you to share with them. What are your favorite locations? You can pop over to their Facebook page, I'm sure, and start sharing your information. Now, if you're embarrassed to share on their page, you can probably also pop over to a list that I'm a part of, SimWatch, that's on Facebook. I am really shocked that they I'm shocked that they shared this.
Wow.
50 Shades of Woohoo.
50 Shades of Woohoo.
That's right. That's not what
really?
They called it. I named it that. So you can that's going to make its way around Twitter. Mm.
All right. Well, there are some irritated, very teed off people this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Some consumers say they were misled, want refund for Minecraft on Xbox 360.
Did we not say it?
Uh-huh, exactly. Microsoft is refusing to give some customers a refund for the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft. Why would people want a refund? Well, yesterday, Kotaku uncovered the fact that if you don't own a high-definition television set, then the game won't allow you to play split-screen. Oh, sorry, one second. I'll have to be right back.
Ginger is in the middle of some major renovations. So let me jump in here really quick. In case you did not know, Apple is taking a stab at Google today. They're planning on dropping Google Maps on the iOS 6 that's coming out in favor of using their own app. This is going to be really bad. On its upcoming iOS 6 operating system, and instead of is going to be offering its own service, which is called 9to5 Mac. Since 2007, Apple has included Google Maps as a standard application that comes with the iOS operating system. Every iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch Google ships right now has it, and as frequent user of Google Maps on iOS over the years, everybody would tell you it's one of the most important apps you can have on any of these devices because if you need directions, you're trying to find out where you are, things that are nearby. I can honestly tell you I didn't know how much I used this until recently. I was trying to find, believe it or not, I was out in BFE. If you don't know what BFE is, you're too young, and couldn't find a McDonald's. And my Google Maps pointed me right to the nearest McDonald's, which wasn't that far away, but I couldn't see it. So they're saying, if, of course, 9to5 Max reporting is accurate, actually that's the name of the site that did the report, they're saying goodbye to Google Maps. Instead, Apple will have its own map software that is connected to Apple's backend and data. Apple bought C3 Technologies in October of last year, and that company offered the ability to integrate 3D imaging with 2D maps, creating awesome lifelike 3D mapping, which could be nice, I guess. Thankfully, 9to5 Mac says Apple's map program will be similar in look and feel to Google Maps, even with 3D flourishes and cool photorealistic detail. It should offer most of what Google has, but the data backend will belong entirely to Apple. Of course, tying into Apple's need for control over its users' hardware and the software experience completely. There are some videos floating around on YouTube, which we will share with you here if you wanna. Check out our Twitter feed. I, for one, am not liking this. I'm not liking this at all. Did you hear what I'm saying? Apple is not going to be using Google Maps. They're using their own. I think
really?
I think it's stupid. I'm not. Sometimes it's good to have your own things, but you have to keep in mind, Apple, you make hardware. And Google is all about the software. Well, not all about. They have the Android phone. But if they decide to stop making things work on your iPad, like say, oh, I don't know, the browser, the search engine, Google. So, if you have a Mac app, there's going to be people that are going to drop iPads like a bad habit. Oh, it's going to be ugly. Anyway.
Anyways, all right, so can I finish my story that I started? Or did you
sure,
finish
darling. I didn't finish for you because that was not my story. It's not on my desk. Thank you.
No, I'm going to cough. Nice. All right. So, wow. Yeah. See, people, you work at home and you have contractors coming in doing stuff for you. It gets like all kinds of wonky.
Dusty.
Yes. All right. So, GamePolitics.com again. I'm just going to start all over from the beginning.
Do it.
Some consumers say they were misled and want a refund for Minecraft on Xbox 360. We talked about this last night. We actually had somebody call in. So, if you didn't hear the show last night, you should go back and listen to it. Microsoft is refusing to give some customers a refund for the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft. Why would people want a refund? Well, yesterday, Kotaku uncovered the fact that if you don't own a high-definition television set, then the game won't allow you to play split-screen multiplayer with friends. And while that might not seem like a big deal, many of the customers who bought the game to play it that way had no idea of the requirements until they actually sat down to play the game in that mode. That's because no one involved in bringing the game to the Xbox 360 bothered to put some sort of notification of the HDTV requirements in the game's description. Kotaku points out that the demo does contain a warning. If you try to play it in local split screen, the story came to light when one customer named Andrew King emailed them. A few consumers claimed that they have successfully received refunds from Microsoft customer support, but others have not been so lucky. And can't talk. All right, so, and when Kotaku contacted them with a representative, they spoke. When Kotaku contacted them, the representative they spoke to said that refunds were dependent on a number of factors, including who was handling your claim. All right. Customers who feel bamboozled by Microsoft want to convey is that they should have been warned well in advance of purchasing the game. Personally, we think Microsoft would look pretty lame if they didn't add a warning somewhere in the description of the game on the Xbox Live Marketplace within the game demo somewhere during startup or shortly thereafter on one of the loading screens. It also wouldn't hurt if someone patched the game to make split-screen multiplayer work for people that don't happen to have a high-definition TV, either considering how popular Minecraft is as a franchise. Who wrote this? No wonder I'm tripping on this. I don't know who wrote this, but this is bad. All right, so anyways... seriously, but it's Minecraft. Why would you have to have HD? It's all blocks.
I don't know, but that's a very, very bad thing. We did say something would go wrong. I said it wasn't going to work. Some things are not meant to be cross-platform. Seriously.
Yeah, true, totally. And I don't think this is one at all. This one should not have been at all.
Well, Facebook has a new interesting feature. Wow. It's a new feature, and this comes to us courtesy of Engadget. They've been testing what they're calling the highlight feature, which lets you pay $2 to promote your status updates. That's right, $2, and you can be a star too. Finding ways to throw money at Mark Zuckerberg is notoriously difficult, but a new highlight feature could be just the trick, according to Engadget. Currently being tested with a small population of users, it allows an ordinary member to pay $2 to ensure that their latest status update crops up in more of their friends' news streams. Ordinarily, the degree to which a status update is streamed depends on the number of likes or comments it has, which ensures that users generally only see the juiciest gossip. But paying this premium would cause Facebook's algorithms to distort in your favor. In other words, it's replacing money is replacing popularity, or simply life. That's also via TechCrunch. Wow. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know either.
I really think it's time. I keep saying I'm doing it. I think I'm just going to go ahead and migrate over to Google Plus. Seriously.
Yeah.
If you are just a normal person, some people say they just want to be famous and they'll do anything to have it. This $2 thing will do that. And I'm sorry, you people who like your Jersey Shore and Snooki and Jerseylicious, I can't do it. I don't understand.
No. Every time I turn those things on, whatever, my brain cells just know that they up and leave. They're like, no, sorry, you cannot torture us like this.
I mean, I watch some reality shows. I do love Isla and Coco, but mostly because I think they're a cute couple. I was always a fan
of
Ice-T.
Okay, those two are right,
yeah. And I watched Ice-T, and I know she's a model. Kind of a different thing. I wanted to know a little bit about them, so I watched her show. You know, you usually just see pictures. I never heard them speak or how they interact or, because, you know, perception of people. But I don't know who Snooki is before she got on the show, and I don't care. I don't care who the Jerseylicious people are that you run a salon out of Jersey. I don't care. I don't care if Cake Boss I like, because I like to see, was that Cake Boss that they made all the crazy cakes and they showed you how they made these amazing cakes and those things like that I see people doing something amazing, yes. But to watch people get drunk and stumble and fall down and punch each other is not my idea of popularity. And this is what's going to happen with this. You're going to have people that just happen to have a little bit of extra money and they're going to pay their $2 and suddenly they're famous for no reason at all. And then you're mad at them saying, you're supposed to be a role model for kids. No, they're not. They paid their way into role model is what they did. They paid their way into being popular or crunchy. Crunchy. I said crunchy. I'm sorry. It's the crackers and stuff I'm eating. It's time to stop talking now. Go ahead, Ginger.
All right.
Oh, some another blow for the Pirate Bay. Court orders 5 more Dutch ISPs to block the Pirate Bay. Emboldened by the Court of The Hague's January ruling that 2 of the Netherlands' largest ISPs must implement a DNS and IP block of the Pirate Bay, anti-piracy group Brine went ahead and sued a few more Dutch ISPs to censor the site. We'll chalk up another success for Brine because the court has ruled that UPC, KPN, Tele2, T-Mobile, and Telfort must also block the Pirate Bay. The blocking order covers 20 specific domains such as thepiratebay.org, thepiratebay.se, thepiratebay.com, depiratebay.be, and themusicbay.net. Brine asked for a total of 3 IP addresses to be blocked by the court only, but the court only blocked 2 of them, as the third hosted only Pirate Bay-owned content such as website images and CSS files. The court denied Brine's request to add further IP addresses and domains to the ruling. The various ISPs are expected to appeal the decision, but they still have to start blocking the Pirate Bay within the next 10 days or face maximum fines of €250,000. For its part, Brine said the ruling was good for innovation and creation. Liars. It's worth noting that UK's recent IP block of the Pirate Bay upped the site's traffic by 12 million visitors. In related news, the Court of The Hague also today confirmed an earlier injunction against the Pirate Bay, ruling that it can no longer link to, operate, or list websites that allow the public to circumvent a local Pirate Bay circumvent a local Pirate Bay blockade. The political party must also shut down its reverse proxy and block Pirate Bay domains and IP addresses from its generic proxy.
What are they going to do? Yeah. Block off internet? Everybody's just going to have. They're going to start.
It looks like it. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
that,
internet
that
Nazis.
Looks yes, that is exactly what they're trying to be. Is internet Nazis? And I usually find that argument completely immature and dumb. But right now, this is exactly what's going on. They're trying to be internet Nazis. They're trying to say you can't go here, you can't go here, you can't go here. And this is why we were talking yesterday that, what was it, the Swedish court passed a deal where you couldn't block certain ISPs even if you were a religious group? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we were talking, I remember. But apparently you could do it here.
apparently we can do that here. But, yeah. What? I don't know. I think it's completely dumb and stupid. I really think all the censoring of the internet is not good. I know. All right, I can somewhat agree that downloading and sharing property that's not yours is not good, all this fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some of you people, like Adobe, I'm going to call you out right now, right here. Your Photoshop, so many people use it nowadays, and you still want to charge us $700 just about to download your Adobe Photoshop.
No, not only an update, because if you have it, they'll let you update, but its update is still super expensive.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because so many people are using your software. If you would lower your price to where, you know, the average person could afford to pay for it, I know a lot of people that use it would end up paying straight out.
Yeah, they would stop trying to pirate it.
Pirate it. Because it is. It's great software. It's wonderful software. But as of now, I'm using anything else that I can use. I mean, thankfully, I had a student copy, but I still think I have spent $300-$400 for it.
Mm-hmm. Even Windows has learned their lesson. Right now, you can get a Windows update.
Yeah.
For $20 if you're a student, which is not bad. That's a whole lot more money than zero.
Yes. I got Windows 7 for 3 computers, a couple months back, and I paid $90 for it, and that was nice. I love my Windows. Seriously, not on a Mac.
I'm updating soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get what the... on one hand, I get it, developers. I know. You spend a lot of time making Photoshop. But it's not like you made Photoshop just now, and it's the new hotness, and you're like, we're going to charge money. There's nothing out like us. There's other companies that would love to step in your shoes.
And there is. There's GIMP out there that's totally free. It's open source. You can do the same thing you can do in Photoshop. All right, Photoshop is laid out a lot easier, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But GIMP, if you take the time and you learn it, you can do all the same stuff in GIMP, and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And I used GIMP for a really long time until I realized that, oh, hey, I could download Photoshop and use the code that I already have.
But the point is, if it wasn't $700 in the first place,
yeah,
there would be no GIMP.
Exactly. I mean, you want to charge me, you know, 150, 200 bucks, that's fine. I'd pay that. What you have is really good.
What they need to do is you need to have a regular person user license, and then you have a company one. Obviously, a company that does web design, you're going to charge a little more because they're going to have some.
Yes,
maybe they have some features. Maybe they come with some cloud storage or something that you can give them.
Yes, yes, and the code lasts for, you know, four computers or something. You know, two or three computers.
Yeah,
but you're charging me $600 for one.
Exactly. I was never against Windows saying that. That companies had to pay extra for, you know, codes for their computers. I understood that completely. You can't just get one copy of Windows and go nuts. You got 500 people working in your office and you installed Windows. That is a loss for you. But Joe Blow, Joe Schmo, like Ginger and I, we work at home. I just need one copy. I got one computer I use for, you know, whatever it is I'm doing for Windows or whatever, or Adobe Photoshop, maybe two. Why am I paying $700 still? And for an update of that, because I had a student copy of, like, Photoshop something before it went into the CS, and I was like, okay, well, how much is update? Oh, that's going to be $350. What?
No. Screw y'all.
No. I think I'm going to borrow this copy.
I don't know. People are nuts. People are just plain flipping nuts.
And Horace has an interesting comment about your previous story. He says it is... Well, it's the same story we're actually still discussing. It's just really dumb and stupid. The more they stomp on the pirates, the more pirates will get what they want. And this is true. All you're going to do is they're going to find another way around it. And they're going to keep finding another way around it. Unless you go in everybody's house and just start blocking people and threatening to kill them, it's not going to just go away. You're just making it worse. You're exacerbating the problem.
They're
come back stronger. Sorry. Apparently, you don't know who they be.
Do you know who I be?
They don't.
I know who I be.
They don't know who they be. All right, so you got... Wait a minute. I was about to tell you about Company of Heroes, but I think something else juicy came in. Oh, no, never mind. That was not juicy. Never mind. I will tell you about something else. Stop tweeting me, you. I mean, texting me, you. Stop it.
Do it. Do it more. Do it more.
No.
Yes.
Well, I got some bad news for all of us, actually. Game sales are... in a slump. We desperately need us a GTA or something to come out that's just going to blow us away. Rockstar, I'm telling you, you better bring it. Oh, I am telling you, if you don't bring it, I'm going to give up all hope. I'm abandoning all hope. We're just going to do game fashion and nothing else, just leave you guys behind. But according to a study from the NPD group, they released the April sales report for the U.S. games industry. It also reminds me, we got the charts in, but yesterday. So we're not. That's why we didn't do them Monday, and we're not going to do them this week at all. People get it to us on Monday. Thank you.
I know, right?
On time. The total
on Friday, really? Really, people?
Yes, Thursday. What good does it do me Thursday? But in any case, total video game sales fell off of a cliff, dropping 32% to $630.4 million. Software sales alone really nosedived by 42%. According to GI.biz, this is totaling around $307.2 million, including PC retail titles, while hardware fell 32% to $189.7 million. Now, while retail alone does not paint a nice picture for the business, NPD stressed that new physical retail generates about 65% of total sales and what NPD calls the total consumer actually comes to one for April. This includes used games, rental, full game digital download, DLC, subscriptions, mobile games, and social games. Regarding the retail softness, NPD analyst Anita Fraser commented, this year, Easter fell very early in April, which means most Easter-related purchases may have fallen into March this year, whereas last year, Easter fell in late April, causing most sales to fall in that month. We usually find that Easter-related purchases generate an extra 10% in revenue in the month they occur, so some of the softness compared to last April could be attributed to the shift in Easter timing. Why is Easter just not on the same day like it is Christmas?
I don't know. You would think it would be, but no.
What is it moving for? Is somebody trying to catch it, kill it? I don't know. In any case, they're saying – on the chart. Activision's Prototype was one of the few new releases to make a splash. Kinect Star Wars also performed reasonably well. And Fraser also, Julie Fraser, rather, who's one of the CEOs at NPD, also noted that interest in the title also drove higher sales for Microsoft's Star Wars Kinect 360 bundle. And while not in the top 10 chart, Fraser also points out that Nintendo's Kid Icarus Uprising for 3DS ranked up among the top 10 SKUs for the month and would have made the list if they weren't reporting on the SKU rather than the total title level. Other ones in the top 10, Call of Duty, of course, for all platforms, Tiger Woods PGA Golf 13, NBA 2K12, The Witcher 2, Assassin of Kings, Mario Party 9, Stop It, Jay, Look Away, Mass Effect
3, Look Closer, Jay, Look Closer,
Mass Effect 3, Just Dance 2, and MLB 12, The Show. So I didn't want to play any of those games. I see why sales are slumping.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm coughing my head off this morning.
I am so bored with some of our games that are out now. Really, seriously, just bored. They go, oh, we got Prototype 2. I played one.
No. I know what I want to play, and I just totally harassed their Facebook. So guys listening, where is my invite?
Oh, God. You know what? Horace just said, Rockstar, you must bring it so much that you get sued. Yes, that's when you know they brought it, when they're in trouble. When you turn on the news and 2 days after it's released, or even before it's released, they're like, Rockstar is being filed in a lawsuit against Rockstar for blah, blah, blah. This group is angry. When everybody's angry, every group, the gay and lesbian, the African-American, the Hispanic, the Asian, when everybody's angry at Rockstar, that's when you know you got a good GTA.
That's awesome.
You got a good one. Did you still got to play? Get the.
I know.
So you can understand all this. Everything in the last GTA was offensive. And if you took offense, it's like, why? They were after everybody. Nobody was safe. Women, men, gay, straight, dogs, cats.
Everybody got it.
Movies. You ever seen the movie, those dance movies? Remember the rash of them? Step Up and whatever, all those movies that came out, they had one of the commercials in there that parodies that and says, no, son, let me teach you how to dance. You have to dance like you're humping a chair and walking a tightrope at the same time. It's, you know, it's those little gems in there that do it. Love it.
Nice. All right, so what have I got? Official servers for Battlefield 3 becoming non-existent. This does not sound like a good thing. Polygon reports that official EA and DICE run online game servers for the console version of Battlefield 3 are becoming nearly non-existent.
Uh-oh.
Complaints about the lack of official servers for the game have been growing on Reddit, according to VentureBeat, who compiled an extensive list of complaints from players. Players attribute this to EA's move to rent out server space to players for $30 a month. But while player-run servers picked up the slack, EA and developer DICE apparently decided to cut back on the number of official servers available to players. In recent Ask Me Anything Reddit thread, DICE community manager Daniel Matros responded to concerned fans, saying that there is only so much physical space and digital space where you can have servers. The community requested a rental program, and we delivered. When another commenter on the thread raised the same concerns, Matros, promised to bring up the issue within the company. I've heard this for a while now, and the feedback has gotten louder. This is definitely something I will raise when I get back to the studio tomorrow. Polygon points out that they were unable to find a single official server on the Xbox 360 version of Battlefield 3 run by DICE or EA. Wow. You know, I'm all for renting out servers so that you can play with your friends and so that, you know, you can police your own people.
Well,
but at the same time... Yeah, that's the other thing. At the same time, you get these people who want to rent their services, they can run all the hacks they want.
Yeah, these exactly. are for the wrong reason, so you might want to rethink that. Mm.
Yes, exactly. And then you've got the ones who are like, oh, you're not in the cool kid club, so you can't come play with us.
We don't care.
I don't care. I just want to put a bullet in your head. Come on. Virtually, come on.
I'm glad you clarify that.
Just virtual. There's a respawn point.
I'm glad you specified virtual. So those of you who didn't know, there is a Game of Thrones RPG. Yes. I am still waiting to watch that show. I'm trying not to look at anything yet. There are some videos and things they keep sending us. I refuse to look at them. I think Ginger's handling them. I don't want to look at it until I watch the show because it's going to ruin it for me. But if you do like it, they're offering a behind-the-scenes look at the Game of Thrones RPG, which is the role-playing game adaptation of George R.R. Martin's extraordinary saga. They're saying it's coming soon to the Xbox 360, PlayStation, and PC. It is being narrated by project director Thomas Bodden and the lead game designer Sylvain Secchi from Cyanide Studios. Behind the Wall explains how the role-playing game set in the famous... Wait a minute. How the role-playing game set in the famous A Song of Ice and Fire universe was born. The pair discussed working with author George R.R. Martin to produce a game faithful to the universe he imagined and how the TV series produced by HBO has influenced much of their work. The game's creators also explained their desire to tell an original story running parallel to the first book of the saga. It involves two original characters, Mors of the Night Watch and Alistair the Red Priest. They detail the attributes of these two characters that players will embody throughout the game, following a style of narration similar to George R.R. Martin's in the novels. Since we invite you to discover all of this and many more fascinating details with the video that they sent over to us, which is called Behind the Wall, again, it's going to be out in just a few days on Xbox, on PlayStation, PC, May 15th here in North America, and the first week of June in Europe. It looks beautiful. I don't want to look at anything from it. Ginger's going to force me to do so. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. Anybody else out there watch Game of Thrones? I'm still waiting for Ginger to finish her Walking Dead so we can get the review for that. Actually, mine is probably going to go up today. I hope. I'm still tweaking the writing. Speaking of things that we have written, go over to ablegamers.com and check out our new column over there. Tell them that we sent you. For those of you who don't know us, well, there's an intro. Can learn all about us. Ginger, where are our thoughts, Ginger? Ginger has gone and left me. Why did she leave me? All right, so you guys know Mother's Day is coming up. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. What are you getting for your mom? Hopefully she's a gamer. So say happy Mother's Day to your mothers. And listen to us over the weekend, or make sure you keep an eye on our Twitter. We'll be making a special announcement and do an interview with a very special person over the weekend for Mother's Day. You will enjoy it. Make sure you have, if you are a mom or dad, make sure you have, you're listening, have your little ones listening. Very special interview. Okay, moving along. 2K Sports was crowned the champion of Major League Baseball with their, I'm sorry, actually there was a champion, we told you about this contest, a champion was crowned, he won $1 million in perfect game prizes, something like that. And this never, I should not have scrolled. Not my day. So 2K Sports announced that they have crowned a champion in the Major League Baseball 2K12 Perfect Game Challenge. The winner is one Mr. 21-year-old Christopher Gilmore of Melbourne, Florida. Ha, you didn't know you'd be on the news somewhere. He'll be featured in a 30-minute special on Spike TV on May 24th, 2012 at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and will be awarded $1 million for winning a live single elimination tournament at the MLB Fan Cave in New York City. Gilmore prevailed in the head-to-head tournament by defeating 25-year-old Charles Bates of Conway, Arkansas in the tournament 10-1. The tournament field was made up of the top eight ranked individuals from a massive qualifying phase that included more than 900 verified perfect games and nearly 1 million attempts. Winning this year's Perfect Game Challenge is an amazing achievement that required game skill and composure in an intense tournament atmosphere, said Jason Argent, who's the vice president of marketing for 2K Sports. Chris is incredibly deserving of the $1 million prize. He certainly earned it by beating some really stiff competition. Fans can relive the Perfect Game Challenge during Spike TV's special, which will be hosted by Jeff Kiley of G4 TV, or GTV, or as they're putting it, but it's G4 TV. Is it GTV? I don't know. We'll feature also a special appearance by MLB's network's Harold Reynolds and Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition cover model Kate Upington because, yeah, she has something to do with video games. Duh. The segment will include interviews with the eight finalists as well as highlights from the tournament that culminate in the $1 million check presentation. You know what? Also, just so you know, if you like Major League Baseball, the game is rated E. By the ESRB, it's available for pretty much every console under the sun, including a few handhelds, your PSP as well, and computer. You know what? Every time I see one of these stories where Spike TV is trying to host a gaming awards thing every year. There are some people that are in charge, unfortunately, of the television networks that have no idea how to broadcast anything to do with games to gamers. We don't want to see highlights of that video game. We really don't.
No, we don't.
You don't treat it like you do on ESPN. We're going to show you highlights of the video game where he did this, because you know what? It's a video game. We understand that. Well, we don't mind watching it live if we're in a room. I mean, I love watching somebody play live. I love going to a tournament, and, you know, I've said this before. One of the reasons why I'm so enamored with Fatality is not so much because of his skill. It's because of his personality. You don't get to see it until you're actually watching him play, because he's very quiet and reserved. He doesn't say very much. But when he's playing, there's a whole different person that's sitting there playing. He's screaming at the screen. He's talking trash to people. Oh, what? You know, he's doing this type of stuff. That's fun. But I don't necessarily need to see what's going on the screen. I'm kind of watching him and kind of watching the screen at the same time. That's what makes it fun for gamers, to be in the room with the person playing, not watching a playback on TV. Not fun, Spike. Stupid idea. And the whole,
sounds like it, yeah.
And the whole, oh, well, let's get this model to come in. Okay, I will tell you this, not to say our guy, gamer guys, don't like women, but we already know this. Any girl who's not a gamer will tell you this. You put a guy in a room with the girl in the console, he's going for the console. Sorry.
Exactly.
So he don't really care that Kate Upington is standing next to him. She's not his girl, and she's not a gamer. Anyway, moving along. What you got, Ginger?
All right, what have I got? I have got some annoying shit, stuff.
Daytime. Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, my bad. Senator Patrick Leahy says PIPA and SOPA style legislation is still needed. Hey, Mr. Leahy, I doubt you can even find the on button for your computer, your laptop, whatever. Anyways, Senator Patrick Leahy, the Democrat from Vermont, can't let the defeat of his bill go and continues to insist that most of the provisions in his Protect IP Act, PIPA, and the House of Stop Online Piracy Act, SOPA, are still needed. During a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing this week, the senator from Vermont bristled at the comments made by the White House IP czar, Victoria Espinel, who said before the committee that maybe the problem of online piracy was solving itself through voluntary action. Voluntary efforts are wonderful, and I'm hoping the voluntary efforts will give us some confidence for the legislation we need, because ultimately we still need legislation, Leahy said after the hearing was over. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat, Rhode Island, concurred with Leahy. If I were the content people, I'd be working very hard to sort this out. It's a technical problem within the Protect IP legislation that I think can be solved, and they're the ones who are the victims of massive crime every single day. Really? Really? You know, we spend so much time and so much money tracking down these people who download movies, download music, and we treat them like they are worse than rapists and killers and murderers and bank robbers. And it's ridiculous, and it's disgusting, and I cannot believe in our country, in our day and age, the things that we should be fighting for, equality, all this great stuff, for our teachers to get the money they need to do their jobs, for our schools to get the money they need to teach our children, and yet we'd rather spend our money chasing after somebody who downloaded a movie. We'd rather throw those people in jail for years. Grr. All right, I'm off my soapbox. All right, so
you were just called a potty mouth, just so you know.
My bad. All right, well, that got off my tirade, so can I do another little short one?
But of course, darling.
All right, so Steam cards in GameStop stores next week. We did mention this, or at least Blaster mentioned this last night show, but I know some of y'all don't show up for the show at night, so here we go. According to a CNBC report, games retailer GameStop will begin stocking Steam cards May 15th in a majority of its U.S. stores. The idea of having a retail card is that it allows those who do not have a credit card the ability to put cash towards a card they can use to buy games on Steam. The report is based on this Kotaku report, which also includes a photo of a shrink-wrapped $50 Steam voucher card. The only reason that the store is a bit weird is because GameStop bought Steam competitor Impulse from Stardock last year. We've mentioned this as well.
They say while Kotaku headlines it as a defeat for GameStop, the people over at Game Politics say that they see it as GameStop corporate saying that there's room for everyone to make some money. Of course, neither GameStop nor Valve have publicly confirmed the validity of the story.
I say it's GameStop conceding defeat because they have their own service. It's not like they're keeping theirs. They're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
So they didn't do well. I don't think they gave it enough time. Again, I don't know what their numbers were. Maybe they didn't sell anything. That would be one reason to say, let's hurry up and ditch this really, really quick. Wow. I'm still shocked at that and the fact that it's I don't know. It's so short. It's such a short time.
B-Cat, I love that. Sometimes good girls have to say bad things. I'm totally retweeting that and favoriting that.
All right, remember we told you some time ago about a lawsuit involving one of our favorite singers here, Beyonce?
I just pulled that up.
Mine. A Manhattan judge has ruled that a lawsuit filed against pop star Beyonce Knowles last year by game developer Gate 5 can go to court, given that Knowles did not give the company enough notice before backing out of the deal. Gate 5 formed a $20 million joint venture with Knowles Beyonce Inc. in 2010 to develop a game called Star Power Beyonce. However, the developer alleges Knowles demanded more favorable compensation terms at a crucial moment in the project's development, driving away the game's financing before pulling out of the project in breach of the original agreement. Justice Charles Ramos has now told Knowles that she should not have so abruptly pulled out of the deal, and this is also coming from the New York Post. He said, that you continue to negotiate right up until the time you pull the plug. This is not going to work with me, he said. Ooh. Gate 5 was forced to lay off 70 employees as a result of Knowles pulling out of the deal, alleges the company.
Ouch, that hurts.
It's bad. The company is now seeking to recover $6.7 million in direct investment in the project, as well as over $100 million in potential profits from the title. Knowles' lawyer said that the singer was well within her rights to pull out of the deal due to the fact that Gate 5 allegedly didn't have financing in place for the title. So it's a he said, a she said, they said thing.
Well, this gets you in trouble.
Girl, you have to stick it out. You know that. You're from Texas.
You should.
Texas girls don't say die until it's dead. And even then we kick it a few times and say get up.
Wow. See, and this is why I love my Corey. all right. I am so coughing my head off this morning, and I just lost the story I was going to read. So I'm going to grab another one. All right. What have I got? Hitman. Have we already talked about this? Hitman Absolution?
No, we have not. Please share.
All right. Hitman Absolution creates world-first pre-order initiative with Hitman Sniper Challenge. iOS Interactive AS, a Square Enix studio, today announces Hitman Sniper Challenge, an exclusive standalone pre-order sniper experience available to play from the moment customers pre-order their copy of Hitman Absolution. The Hitman Sniper Challenge pre-order promotion will be available starting May 15th, which is in 4 days, people. Hitman Sniper Challenge is not part of the main game, but has been created as a bespoke standalone experience to reward fans who pre-order Hitman Absolution. From a balcony overlooking a rooftop party, you are tasked with taking out Richard Strong Jr., CEO of Stallion Armaments, along with his entire staff of bodyguards. Skilled players will capitalize on score multipliers, discover secret extras, unlock equipment upgrades, and marvel at the many creative ways one can discreetly dispose of a body while they work to fulfill their contract in the most efficient way possible. The high-powered Keizo TRG sniper rifle and a host of other upgrades can be unlocked and carried over into Hitman Absolution. Also, an online leaderboard will allow players to compare their sniping capabilities with players around the world, supported by various challenges to determine who has the best sniping skills. Keep an eye on HitmanSniper.com for more details. Okay, so, and I put this up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning, so if you want that link, head over there and check it out.
I'm still waiting for my invite from Funcom. I'm getting real.
I know. Where are invites? I'm about to go over to their Facebook and raise all kinds of hell.
I'm about to send them an email. I'm going
to. Girls, we know how to do that.
not good. You guys, I'm sending email because I got somebody's email. Let me look through my address book.
We coming for you.
I'm coming for you, FunCom.
Was Jack Ripper a woman?
Yeah, I saw that. That's not part of our story, Ginger. Okay.
I know. I was trying to get to the gaming section, but the link I kept on wasn't working, so I had to go about it a different way.
All right, since we mentioned that Sony has lost so much money, there's now Microsoft is now looking at their they're looking at doing some Kinect controlled internet browsing. Are they looking at it, or rather? Of course, we told you yesterday Sony's PlayStation division lost about $2.8 billion over the full year. And of course, PlayStation 3 software sales did increase from 2011 to this year to 149.9 million. I'm sorry, from 147.9 million to 156.6 million. But still, the entire company lost about $5.74 billion for the full year, which ended in March. Now, Microsoft is working on Kinect Control Internet browsing for the Xbox 360. This new software would allow owners to use voice and motion controls to navigate Microsoft's Internet Explorer. You can still surf the web from your couch without the Kinect. They're expecting Microsoft to expose some more details, including a launch date. I'm giving you a little quick tidbits via VentureBeat. This is actually from The Verge. So they're saying in next month, that conference, we're not saying their name anymore. Japanese mobile social game operators also have taken a hit. Stock prices of Japan's big mobile social gaming networks, Gree and DNA, which we talk about quite often here, took a tumble this week as regulators scrutinized their sales methods. Japan's equivalent of the FTC said it was reviewing the complete gacha price. I like that word, gacha. And yes, it's spelled just like it sounds, G-A-C-H-A, gacha. Okay? This is where users pay money in virtual tokens to see if they can land a jackpot in virtual goods. The Japan Consumer Affairs Agency said it was looking into whether that amounted to illegal gambling. Mm-hmm. And when the investigation surfaced, the stock prices fell 22% over 3 days. But the stock did rise again today, and both companies pledged to abandon the system by May 31st. Gree, meanwhile, said it tripled sales to more than $578 billion in its most recent quarter, and that's from Bloomberg. Wow. Illegal gambling, huh? I wish I'd caught on to that phrase. That's probably what they were saying when the Japan Trade Council came over. What happened was we didn't know it was gambling.
See, Corey pulls out that accent so well.
Wow. Southern fried.
That's a hot. All right, so Ascension Storm of Souls for iOS is now available. Free upgrade for Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer also released.
Ooh.
Yay!
Rare.
Uh-huh. Playdeck, a leading mobile video game publisher, and Gary Games, announces the release of Ascension Storm of Souls, a new full-size in-app expansion to the popular Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer iOS game. Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer on iOS recently passed 1 million online games. Ascension Storm of Souls can be played by both online or offline, and is designed for 1 to 4 players, and can be combined with the first in-app expansion, Ascension Return of the Fallen.
Hmm.
The newly upgraded Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer, available for the app. The newly upgraded Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer, available from the App Store. Oh, good God, I cannot talk. Anyways, it's required to play Ascension Storm of Souls. In order to purchase Ascension Storm of Souls, you must install the free upgrade from the Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer. Ascension Storm of Souls features new game mechanics, incredible new art, and completely new faction heroes and constructs, including new trophy monsters that can be captured for later effects, event cards that provide global effects for all players. The Fanatic now joins the Cultist as an always available adversary. Joel Goodman, CEO of Playdeck, says, "We are so excited to realize the first full-size in-app expansion to the award-winning best-selling Ascension. Gary Games and Playdeck are pleased to meet the demand from our Ascension fans who just can't get enough of these great games. And now we're pleased to release an update to Ascension Chronicle of the God Slayer that adds features and brings Ascension Storm of Souls to fans." All right, so I've got more information on this, and if you want to read it, you can head over to GameMatrix.com this morning. I'm looking for a price for you, but it does not look like they gave it to me, though I do see a new promo card pack with new characters is $0.99.
So, yeah. I don't know how much the game is. It's on iOS. I don't have one. So if you have it, let me know. Let me know how it goes. Yay! All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sending emails to Secret World.
You do that. You tell them, hey, what the hell, yo? You know who we be? You do not go about promises and stuff and then forget.
You know what? I think the PR people is getting close to E3. I think they're getting a little bit overwhelmed. Because I have at least four emails.
A bit overwhelmed.
Yeah, you remember I told you we've got at least four emails in here from people that are asking what happened to such and such review that we did months ago. Some that are offering us reviews that they've already given us. Huh?
So do not make me play that game again, please. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It was enough.
Well, there's another one coming out.
Oh, good Lord. That one goes to Blaster.
Well,
throw Blaster under the bus.
Well, here, you know, you just might, because actually it's on Steam. I actually...
and he said.
He wants to be the Steam guy, so be careful what you wish for. So, Blaster, if you're listening, pay very close attention, because Avernum, the Great Trials Trilogy, is coming to Steam. Three indie classics for one low price. Following the success of their Janeforge bundle and the recent remake of Avernum Escape from the Pit, you can find that review up on our website from Ginger. Spiderweb Software is pleased to announce that Steam is going to be releasing Avernum Great Trials Trilogy for Windows, which combines the last three games of the Avernum series into one low-priced bundle of the last... One low-price bundle of only $11.99. Sure wish I could breathe. Okay. And an extra 20% off the first week, Avernum 4, 5, and 6 tells the tale of your land's struggles in the face of powerful forces that seek to destroy it. Your fight for survival, you can hunt awesome foes and help your weary homeland to find its final destiny. Avernum is a world underground. It is a nation of people living in an enormous warren of tunnels and caverns far below the surface of the world. Once a prison colony for rebels and thugs, it is now a wild frontier full of adventurous souls looking for wealth, fame, and magical power. Avernum's sole link to the surface world, a single magical portal, delicate and difficult to maintain, also known as a staircase. And Avernum 4 takes place long after the previous game and will have you protecting Avernum from new monsters and assassins rising from the darkness that threatens to destroy your home. In Avernum 5, take a new role as the protectors of the Empire seeking to thwart assassins who would lay it low. Finally,
it's underground.
Finally, in Avernum 6, a food blight, and that's never good when you say blight. I love that word, though. And invasion of barbarian lizard people drive the underworld of Avernum to the brink of extinction. In each game, you shape the world and the ending as you travel through the enormous, deadly world of Avernum. Each game in the trilogy features a huge world, unique stories, challenging enemies, up to 40 hours of gameplay. You can experience earlier versions of the game in the series. Well, you don't need to. They're saying it's unnecessary. And again, that is going to be up on Steam. Baby, give me a date. Why didn't you give me a date? I'm guessing it's up now. Maybe it's up now. Let me check the top, the little note.
I curse you with a box, but I hear you already have one.
You know, Joe, I just want to point that out to you, that that's Ginger this time and not Blaster. I want to point that out to you. Because he says to me last time, who's getting this one? I says, Ginger. He says, but it's not Blaster, right? Him and Blaster have a very tumultuous relationship over the years. It's just been really bad. So,
dude, I wanted to like your game, but I'd already played it once. And I knew what I was getting into. So the second time around, I was like...
She was warned. You were warned before when Blaster told you. Who's in it?
Yeah. Blaster, it's your turn. Your turn.
It's not his game, per se. He's a marketing person. He does a great job marketing. Whoever's paying him, you're not paying him enough. He really does a great, great job. People at VG Smart Marketing. Okay, we got like 7 minutes. Ginger.
All right. Game Evil launches a knockout mobile boxing game, Punch Hero. Punch Hero. Did I say punching? Punch Hero. Leading mobile game publisher and developer Game Evil announced the release of their new game, Punch Hero, to the App Store today.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Punch Hero is another title published by Game Evil in conjunction with Koka, Korea Creative Content Agency, and is developed by CocoSoft. The game Punch Hero presents mobile boxing in a fun and competitive arena where users can customize their characters and fight boxing matches against a vast array of challenging characters. Punch Hero is set in an urban background as users select different venues to train, customize, and fight with their characters. Pitted in a boxing ring against the challenger, players deliver swift jabs, hooks, uppercuts, and special mega punches. Through three different modes of gameplay, arcade, amateur, and pro mode, players level up and fight against a wide variety of boxing opponents that range in appearance, skill, and specialty moves. An additional feature allows players to edit their own photos into a fighter's face in Challenger Registry, enabling users to create their own challenger to fight in the ring. In Graveyard mode, players fight against Game Center registered users in a fast-paced sparring mode to establish their ranking on the leaderboard. Kaiyu Lee, VP and head of Game Evil USA, says Punch Hero is an immensely addictive mobile boxing game that casual and hardcore fans will enjoy alike. Paired with fun 3D graphics and the competitive nature of the sport, Punch Hero will keep users entertained for hours. And this at the bottom, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but they say free kick battle is now free to App Store for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. All right. So apparently there's another one called Free Kick Battle, and it's free on the App Store. It was translated really well right up there until the end. Anyway, I've got this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over and check it out.
All right. I think I got time for this one last one this time. Those of you who have Battlefield 3, it is double XP weekend starting at tonight. Usually they say Saturday, but it's 12:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 1 o'clock for some of us. It's going to continue through Sunday to 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All soldiers in Battlefield 3, in the Battlefield 3 Brigade, why can I talk? Battlefield 3 Brigade will earn double XP and matches across all maps and modes. During the Battlefield 3 double XP weekend, players will continue to wage all-out war in Battlefield 3 multiplayer. At the conclusion of each match, players' total points for the round will be reflected in the end round screen and classified as additional points. Double XP will be accrued across all ranked servers and matches. Since its launch, of course, back in October, Battlefield 3 has become the fastest-selling title in EA's 20-year-plus history, selling more than 15 million units since release. Lauded by game critics worldwide for its compelling single-player campaign, intense co-op missions, and its addictive and world-class multiplayer. So you all that are going to be playing this weekend, enjoy. I cannot find a COD or a BF3 anywhere in a red box. Kid you not.
Awesome.
So I will not be playing. I will not be joining you. Anyway, it's about the time for us to take our leave of you over the weekend. Remember to watch the Twitter tomorrow. I'm mostly telling Ginger this too. We have a special interview being done tomorrow in honor of Mother's Day.
Ooh. See, that's the first time I've heard about this.
Not really. You just forgot.
Oh,
it's Friday. I think I feel like causing a little trouble.
I was going to say, because we got stuff going on next weekend, don't we?
Well, that's weekend after next.
Weekend after next. Okay, so 2 weekends from now. Cannot wait.
Yeah, Guns of Icarus.
Yes.
All right, guys, you know where to find us. GameAndAgents.com, GamerAndGirlsRadio.com, and as always, we're here on Blog Talk 24/7. Download us. Take us with you. Oh, by the way, you might want to cover your speakers. Fuck!
No! Yeah.
I love that song. Later, boys and girls.